I'm Tom Asbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about editing the human embryo, the human genome, to stave off disease and more. It's now been done in the U.S., and we're asking how far this will and should go. Amy Doxer Marcus is with us, health and science reporter for the Wall Street Journal. She's been writing up the latest developments. Dr. Paula Amato is with us, professor of obstetrics, gynecology, Oregon Health and Science University, one of the co-authors of the new study just published last week in the journal Nature, laying out the successful editing of genes in human embryos to repair a common disease-causing mutation. You can join us this hour. How do you feel about editing the genome of human embryos, about editing the unborn for what they will be? Is that great? Is it merciful, a blessing if they're otherwise facing a lifetime of defect or disease or death sentence? Is it a bridge too far? Is it playing God? We're at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. October 2014, 16-year-old Miles Kirkland Thomas was a high school football player, Staten Island, New York. He died during morning football practice. He was later diagnosed with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, or HCM, exactly the mutation that this latest research was focused on correcting and did correct in the embryos. He'd been running wind sprints because he was late, you'll hear. Michelle Charlesworth reported for WABC then in New York City.
He collapsed on the field and died at the hospital yesterday morning. They confirm what his family reportedly has said, that Miles had to run wind sprints because he was late to morning practice and that he collapsed soon after. Police say Miles suffered cardiac arrest and passed at 10:45 a.m.
From HCM, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. If his embryo had years earlier been edited in this way, maybe he'd be alive. But there are ethical issues here. Last week when this all came out, AP talked with Dr. Eric Topol, a cardiologist, geneticist at the Scripps Research Institute in La Jolla, California. He talked about the unanswered questions around the editing of the genome of a human embryo.
This is such a big deal to actually manipulate the genome of an embryo. We don't know what happens when that embryo grows into a baby or when that baby grows into an adult. So these are some big unknowns that it'll take years to understand, and we're not really ready for this to get launched. The ethics, the unknowns are really a really big question.
But it's been done already now with HCM, this heart condition, and one of those who wrote the study on it is with us, Dr. Paula Amato. We've got callers right off the bat. Leslie in Marlboro, Massachusetts. Leslie, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call, Tom. I'm literally, my heart is jumping out of my throat because I'm married to a man who has HCM. His dad, who was one of 10 siblings, had the disease. Probably 6 of those siblings had the disease, 4 of whom died of sudden cardiac death. My husband's brother at 32 died of sudden cardiac death. His first cousin at 40 went on the ice to play hockey at Chelsea Piers in New York, died of sudden cardiac death. My husband was the second youngest person in the world to get an internal defibrillator.
Mm-hmm.
We've dealt with this disease in our family. So many of his cousins have it. Everyone has defibrillators. But the weight of knowing that you can have the disease, not know whether or not you will be a victim of sudden cardiac death because there are very few symptoms attached to the disease.
Yeah.
I waited 7 years between children because I didn't want to have another child because every day of their childhood, I worried that they would inherit it when they were able to discover the mutation on the gene that carries the disease. I hit the lottery twice, both my kids in this family with such a horrible history, did not inherit this disease. So to hear about this, to me, is just like a miracle.
And we can see why. Those are big numbers right there in your immediate family, Leslie, and your husband's. Dr. Amato, there in Portland, Oregon, does the research that you're doing offer hope to a family exactly like Leslie's?
It does, and my heart goes out to Leslie and her family, and there are many families afflicted by genetic disease. So theoretically, this could eliminate that gene mutation in her family. Now, of course, it would still require in vitro fertilization, which, as we know, is expensive and not accessible to everybody. And right now, there is the option of actually doing pre-implantation genetic diagnosis to select embryos that do not carry the disease. But we feel that this gene editing technology would enhance PGD by making more healthy embryos available for transfer and potentially reducing the number of IVF cycles a woman would have to undergo to have a healthy baby.
If Leslie and her husband created an embryo and you did this kind of gene editing in that embryo, if the mutation were there and you did this to remove it and replace, would that child, if it was taken to term and born, would it then be free of this? Would that child, as it, when it grew to adulthood, have to worry about passing on this mutation, or would that be out of the line?
It would be out of the line, as you say. That's the implication of germline gene editing. Not only are you preventing the disease in that child, but you're preventing it in that child's future children as well, in all future generations.
Leslie, can you imagine that you would or would have, with your husband, stepped up to have that kind of gene editing done if it could remove this threat of mutation from your family line?
Oh, my gosh, 100%. I mean, we lived for 20-plus years every day worrying about our children, because the disease doesn't manifest itself till kids are older. So you worry. I mean, you know, we would argue, don't let them play sports. Let them play sports because, you know, the disease, you know, you're affected by sudden cardiac death upon exertion. And so every day of worry with this cloud, will my child die of sudden cardiac death? We don't know. They're not diagnosed. Will they be diagnosed? And, you know, so many of his cousins were diagnosed in their late 20s and early 30s. So, I mean, to us, and of course, now we have so many family members who are, you know, just now trying to get tested to see if their children are carrying this gene. And so many young people who want to have babies, but we all worry about it constantly.
Leslie, you make it very real for us, and I'm very grateful for your call. Thank you very much for that, and good luck to your family.